Hey, greetings everybody. This is Thirst.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're doing well today. I am sitting by a beautiful sunset. We got it to our evening park spot. Traveled a ways today. Want to bring you a teaching. Jesus doesn't condemn, or does he? Jesus doesn't condemn, or in the street, as I'm street preaching, witnessing, we hear this a lot. Two things. We hear that my preaching is condemning people to hell, and they say Jesus never condemned anyone or wasn't about condemnation. Well, I'm going to say, one, I don't condemn anybody. We'll talk about that in a minute. And two, when it comes to Jesus, that is both kind of true and definitely a lie. Let me explain as we go on. So the verse that they most often quote when it comes to talking about Jesus not condemning is John 13, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This part. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that he may through him might be saved. So let's talk about this. This is the verse they always use. Condemnation to condemn. This is what it means. To distinguish, that is to, by implication, punish, avenge, decree, to put asunder, to deem, to determine. Interesting. So it's definitely making some type of a determination about someone. Condemnation, damnation, right? So that's what this is in the biblical context. So two important facts as we go through this teaching, and I got a whole bunch of scripture to share with you, is Jesus does indeed point to condemnation in the New Testament, both in his first coming and his second coming. I'm going to show that to you. And as defense of my street preaching and witnessing, I don't condemn as in judge men to hell, implying they're going to go to hell no matter what. No, I never do that. I don't make that determination. That's not in my power to do that. But I do warn them of the coming wrath of God, and that their man-made religious systems and their sin and their worldliness will destroy them. So I do that. All right? So let's talk about, now that we've ascertained that I don't condemn people in the biblical sense, but I tell you, Jesus did, does, and will. Let's look at this. If they would just keep reading in that same chapter of John 3, one of my favorite chapters, those people who think Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, they would see the real Jesus. Yes, his life came to save those, to seek and save the lost, but that doesn't mean there's not also condemnation. Why? Not many are going to be saved, he said in Matthew 7. A puny few. So if you're not going to be saved in Christ, what happens to you? You're going to be condemned. Makes sense. Heaven or hell. Judgment or forgiveness. But if they would just keep reading in that chapter. Ready? Let's go. John 3, verse 18. But he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So these same people are going to say, well, see, it's just about unbelief, that we just believe in Jesus and that we're going to heaven no matter what, no matter how we live, no matter what we practice. We're going to heaven because of our belief in Jesus. But that's not true either, because Satan believes, the demons believe, they're not going to make it to the kingdom of God. That would be called proof texting. It gets you in a lot of trouble pulling verses out but not reading the verses around it. Ready? Let's go to the very next verse, John 3, 19, and then through 21. But this is the condemnation, like a damnation. Sounds like it, doesn't it? That light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Jesus is the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So Jesus makes it very clear, those people right there that love the dark and love their sin and they don't love the light and truth in him, They're going to be condemned, condemnation, damnation. It's a lot like Hebrews 10, 26 and 27. For if we willfully sin, walk in darkness, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. I actually had a man street witnessing tell me, well, that doesn't mean they're going to hell. Did you read that? Devour, fiery indignation that devours the adversaries. That clearly is not heaven, God's kingdom. That's hell, a place of wrath, fire, and judgment. So I just showed you from John 3 that they use that Jesus does talk about condemnation. How about other scriptures? Does it talk about condemnation other places and being condemned? Jesus said in John 5, 24, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So here again, Jesus gives us a contrast and a warning of life versus condemnation. But notice this, it's more than just believing. Hearing the word, that means to understand it. And we know from other scriptures and other verses from Jesus, like in John 14, John 15, to hear the word is to remain and abide in him, is to love him, is to obey him, to be his friend, to keep his commandments. So this is not only believing in Jesus, but following and obeying him. The rest of scripture teaches that. I got articles on obedience all over my teaching blog. But what we see is condemnation is on men, by this next verse, after the resurrection of Christ, who walk according to the flesh, not the spirit. Ready? Romans 8, 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So if you walk after the spirit and it's life, what happens if you walk after the flesh? It means death, condemnation. Verse 6 of that same chapter. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life, Paul says, and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Interesting. So death and judgment away from God in darkness and fire is indeed what? Condemnation. We're seeing the New Testament, including Jesus, talked about it quite often. How about Romans 8:13? And if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Paul's talking about the second death there. Yeah, that's not the kingdom of God in heaven. That's a second death. That's judgment and going to the fiery pit where Satan and his minions are going to be. So condemnation is a very real thing in the ministry of Christ, his own words, and in the words of his men in the New Testament body. And so you might say, well, Brother Tupos, where's this confusion coming in? Why do people say Jesus never comes to condemn when clearly I'm showing you he does? Well, I think it's because of the false church systems, the false pastors, the easy believism, the itchy ears. But I think the real idea is they're twisting the idea of no condemnation in Christ has to do something with his two comings, first coming, second coming, and not rightly dividing them. Let's talk about this quickly. So he comes as a baby in a manger the first time. He lives the perfect life and he dies the sacrifice for once for all that will repent and come after him, be born of him by the gospel. His death, burial, and resurrection, the shed blood, repentance to it out of all sin, false religion in the world, be born from above. The fruit you're born of God is holiness and obedience, not keeping willful sin, fleeing all unrighteousness, and then enduring in the faith. So he came as a baby to do this, Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, that was Adam, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So one man damned us, condemnation by his sin, we all fell into it, born into it. We're not totally depraved though, we can still choose, we have a free will. But then Christ brings us life and justification by the gospel I just preached to you. So I think the confusion comes between that first ministry, born as a baby, lived a perfect life, and died, and then his second coming, which we'll talk about in a little bit. Jesus also had warnings of condemnation all over his teachings. not just in John 3, Matthew 7:23. And then I will profess to them, I never knew you, away. Excuse me. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I think I always tell them, depart and away from me is what I preach. But he actually says, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's sin. How about Matthew 8:12? But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's condemnation. Jesus talking about condemnation. How about Matthew 23:13? Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Condemnation. You see Jesus talking about it all over. Matthew 25:30. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yeah, Jesus warned of hell more than he described heaven. He did. And so, again, the problem is people in the church systems, the modern pastors, the denominations, non-denominations, whatever, they're drunk on easy, greasy grace, and they make the mistake. They only focus on that first coming, the baby in the manger, cute baby in a manger. Oh, look at, he doesn't judge anybody. And then they look at the Easter Jesus. Look at him hanging on the cross, dying so helpless. He died and shed his blood for me. But they forget, because they want easy grace. They just want their sin forgiven no matter how they live. He was a fiery preacher of righteousness that talked about hell a lot. He also said this in Matthew 5:30. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off, cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Condemnation. That's Jesus' own words. And he warned of this, Matthew 10:28. Fear not them that which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. He's talking about the Father. You see this? This is condemnation and judgment all over. And it's not Jesus, the little baby in manger, or the emaciated, bloody Savior on the stake. I like to say stake. The cross isn't really biblical. He died on a wooden tree or a stake. And then Matthew 25:45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, as much as ye did not do it to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. I like that. The righteous unto eternal life. They did righteous acts. Yeah, we got to have righteousness of our own, and we need Christ's perfect righteousness for salvation. So I'm proving to you, to say Jesus didn't condemn or talk of judgment, condemnation, hell, is an absolute lie and twisting of scripture that the Bible warns against. And while he didn't use the word condemnation all that often, you can see that if you're outside of the gospel, he warned of fiery judgment against you and there'll be no eternal life. What's the opposite of eternal life? Condemnation, judgment, hell, outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then we've been talking about the word condemnation. How about condemn? Matthew 12:37. For by these words thou shalt be justified, and by these words thou shalt be condemned. Matthew 12:41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Isn't that interesting? Wow. Kind of reminds me when Jesus said, if you reject his workers, it'll be worse off for you than Sodom and Gomorrah, because they did not have this truth. You have this truth. 1 Corinthians 11:32. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The world's going to be condemned right there. But we don't want to be condemned with the world. So we're of Christ. We hope that the Father chastens us. Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of these things, had not as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Yeah, Noah, his actions condemned the world. I think street preachers of righteousness kind of by their actions condemn the world and the church system, because they're warning them. And if they don't repent, it's going to be a great condemnation to them. The Father's going to say, my worker told you, warned you, you laughed, you mocked, you called the police on him, you beat him up, you didn't listen. And let's go to 2 Peter 2:6. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with the overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Yeah, God made an example of Sodom and Gomorrah. So I think we can be very clear. Jesus' first ministry was focused on the kingdom and dying as our sacrifice. Yeah, he came to seek and save the lost. I get it. He did not come in that time to judge. But guess what? He still warned of the coming time of destruction and condemnation that was going to come, as I showed you. And so should we warn people about it. So they have their time messed up. They're looking at the baby Jesus. They're looking at Jesus' life where he did warn of condemnation. They're looking at the emaciated, bloody, dead, bloody hanging on the cross stake, dead Savior before he rose again. And they're thinking, oh, no condemnation, just a, you know, Savior that came to die and shed his blood so I can live in my sin and still go to heaven. But no, that's not what we see. I'm not sure what Bible they're reading. If we are of him via the gospel I was preaching to you by the Spirit and obeying as fruit we know him, there will be no condemnation on us. We will escape the wrath of God. But if you're of man-made religion, the world, and you love and practice sin in your flesh and false ways, you are condemned. 1 John 1:6-7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that would be sin. We lie. We do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that's keep the truth, as he is in the light. He kept the truth. He was the truth. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ, Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Catch that? You got to walk in the light. That's proof that you're of him, that you get cleansed. If you sit in the dark and love your sin, like he talked about in John 3:19-21, you're condemned. Jesus said this in Revelation 2:11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Yeah, we got to overcome. We got to do. We got to walk in the covenant. We got to hold on to Christ. We got to endure. We got to strive. That means fight. Luke 13. Strive to enter through the straight way. It means to fight. I'm going to be doing a teaching on that. So Jesus, warning about heaven versus hell, condemnation versus forgiveness, life versus death. And finally, let's talk about this as we close out this teaching. Finally, we got to talk about what about his second coming? So we see his baby, him in the baby stage. We see him in his ministry warning of condemnation, but coming to save. Then we see him dying on the stake and rising again, right? What about his second coming that he promised? 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9. I probably preach this as much as any other. And unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction. You could say condemnation right there. From the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Hey, if you get destruction away from the Lord, that's damnation and darkness and hell. And then how about Revelation 6:15-17. This is a terrifying verse that shows what Christ is coming to do. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man, that's like everybody, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand it? That verse right there is like the almost the largest, I think you would call it like a juxtaposition, something that's like a total opposite of itself. The wrath of the Lamb. I mean, we think of a lamb, you think of a cute little fluffy little animal. One of the saints sends pictures of their little lambs in Australia. I love seeing them, videos. And they're so cute and precious and harmless. But yet in Revelation, the world is hiding from the wrath of the Lamb. That's condemnation and judgment that's coming because of their sin. And they still don't want him when they see him coming. They hate him. Just like as I preach and people hate the gospel and hate God, the only thing that's going to change them is the Spirit, the Word, and their will, and God granting them repentance. Other than that, they're doomed, turned over, and they have no hope. So those verses I read sure sound like judgment and condemnation to me. How about you, saints? Seekers, if you're listening, condemnation's coming for you. You best repent and be born of Christ and follow him. Let me know I can help you in that. So I hope all of this has given you a proper understanding of condemnation and Jesus' ministry. No, he didn't come the first time as a baby and then in his ministry and as the crucified Savior to condemn men. No, he came to save them. But having said that, he clearly walked warned of hell, warned of his coming, warned of wrath. Go read Matthew 24, the death and destruction that's coming on the world, and he warned about it. They said, give us a sign of your next coming. And he warned about all the death, and nobody. He said, no flesh shall be saved unless for the days are shortened for the elect's sake. That's wrath and condemnation that's coming. And so fiery judgment and indignation is against those not born of him and not following in obedience as fruit that they know him. So, to close out this teaching, I don't condemn and bring condemnation on people other than by my preaching of righteousness. And when they rebel against God, it's going to be a condemnation against them. I know most people that I preach to, it's going to be to their condemnation, not their glorification with God. I know that. It makes a street preacher's job really hard. I look at 5,000 people on any given street preach afternoon and know that most all of them are going to suffer the wrath of God. And I might have a part in preaching that condemns them because God's going to say, you heard the truth, you knew the truth. My worker warned you about your modern pastor, warned you about your corrupt Bible, warned you about your corrupt church, warned you about the culture, warned you about your fleshly life and claiming to be of my son. What will become of them if they don't heed and repent? Fiery judgment and condemnation. So we don't condemn anybody. We don't condemn condemnation on anyone as street preachers or ministers of the gospel. We call them to repentance to save them. That's why we're out here, to see them be saved in Christ and endure to the end for the hope of salvation. But indeed, Christ is going to judge at his second coming. He made all types of references about judgment and condemnation during his ministry. And we, just like he warned of hell and judgment and condemnation coming, and so did Paul and Peter and John the Baptist and all of the men of God and the prophets of old, so we should do that, to warn our neighbors in love. Treat them the way you want to be treated. Would you like to be told that a tornado is coming? Would you like to be told that the bridge you're driving on the foggy road is out and you're going to die? Would you like to be told you have a cancer in you that's killing you, that if we don't do something, it'll save you? Would you like to be told that? Then you need to tell your neighbor that they have the cancer of sin and the wrath and the condemnation of God is over their head unless they repent, come out of the world, come out of their false religion, and seek Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection in righteousness, holiness, and repentance. Hey, I'm going to leave it right there. Thanks for listening. We're on the gospel road, headed to another event this weekend. What a glorious thing we get to do. We just posted our second day of our street preach at a so-called Christian music festival. Lots of edification there. Go to don'tperish.com. Check out the gospel, most important. Check out all the ladies' resources from Sister Amen. Check out all my street preaching, all my thousands of teachings articles, all for free. We don't take a penny from anyone. We want you to have the resources there to train you up. And check out the videos, the audios, everything there, and let us know how we can help you in the faith. Watch out for that condemnation of God that's coming. Christ, that baby in a manger, that glorious crucified Savior, that risen Messiah. Yeah, he's coming back as the fiery Lion of Judah. I should have put that verse in there. I will on my next teaching about this. I'm going to be doing more. The Lion of Judah is coming back in flaming fire. Be ready, lest you be condemned. Love you all. Thanks for listening. God be praised.